1 John. It's faster to find it from the back of the Bible than the front of the Bible. Revelation, Jude, 3rd, 2, 1 John. We're in 5. 1 John 5. John is the writer. He's the Apostle John. Was also a disciple of John the Baptist, his brother's Andrew. This is written probably around 90 A.D. to 100 A.D. He's also the writer of the Gospel of John, 2 John, 3 John, and the Revelation. So this is the writer of this. He's the writer of the Gospel of John, the book of life. The book of life, that you may have eternal life. And here he writes to this chapel, to an elder or a group of assemblies, probably directed to the elders. Or he could be the elder. That's speculated there. Just a little background. So these are born-again believers who have been being deceived. So that's just a little bit of the context of it. So we're going to read in 1 John 5:9. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he has testified of his Son. He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. He who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed the testimony that God has given of his Son. And this is the testimony, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life, and you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. So John's purpose of this letter, or epistle, they call it, is to believers, so they do not lose the fellowship they have with God. As we see in chapter 1, verse 13, is the reason for this letter. It reads this: that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full. That's the purpose of this letter. That they can continue to have fellowship. And there's another purpose of this letter, because these guys have been under attack. These group of believers. These believers are being attacked by these people John calls antichrists. It's the only time it's mentioned in the Bible. He doesn't call them false teachers or false prophets like he does and other apostles do in other books. But he specifically calls this group antichrists. He's not saying the man of sin, Antichrist, the one man who will come, but he says it in the plural, the Antichrists. There are many Antichrists in the world today, he says. He uses this in the plural. These Antichrists were saying that if you don't show certain signs, nowadays, they would call them tests of faith. Probably says it in the highlight of your Bible. That you did not have eternal life. They said you'd have to have certain signs, certain fruits, they would call it. Remember, Jesus said about false prophets, you will know them by the fruits they bear. Well, that fruit means message. You will know them by the message they bear. So he calls these guys antichrist, and there are many of them in the world today. They were robbing them of the promise Jesus gives. If you believe in me for eternal life, you have it. no matter what you do. That is John's gospel. That is Jesus' gospel. John is the writer who took Jesus' gospel and penned it down in the book. And these antichrists were coming along and saying, listen, Joe, you can't have eternal life because you're still out doing this. Or you're not doing that. Or you should be doing this and you're not doing that. Look at, you're still using drugs. You're still gambling. You're still cheating on your wife. You're still going to this church, Mormon church, whatever. So you can have eternal life. They would call them the tests of faith. When in actuality, the prologue says, these are fellowship issues. So when you continue to do these things outside of the boundaries, you do them, you lose fellowship with God. You still have eternal life. And John is driving that home with his readers. If you believe in me for eternal life, you have it, no matter what you do. So John says, who is a liar? This is how he introduces these antichrists. Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? So John's gospel would say that the reason he wrote it was that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, and by believing you may have eternal life in his name. But John says here, who is a liar? But he who denies that Jesus is the Christ, he is antichrist, who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father. So the Father says, this is the testimony of my Son. He who believes in him has everlasting life. So when you say, no, he might not have everlasting life. He should be doing this. John says that he has not believed the testimony of the Father. He is an antichrist. And that's what he says. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. To deny that Jesus is the Christ is to call God a liar, because he has not believed the testimony of God, that he has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Any other is antichrist. Any other is antichrist. If God the Father says, here's the gospel writer here, John here, and here's the gospel writer, John here, the free grace brethren assemblies long ago, he who believes in me has everlasting life and shall not perish. Verily I say unto you, he hears my word, the Father's word, and believes on him that sent me has everlasting life. So you're believing the word that God the Father has given, and this word is, believe in my Son, and I give you eternal life. To reject the Son's message is to reject the Father. And that is a message of Antichrist. It's the spirit of Antichrist, is what John is saying. And this is nothing new. Satan has been using this task from the very beginning. We're going to look at Genesis 3, all the way to the front of your Bible. Probably want to look at this. You got a Bible? If you don't, I'm going to read it anyway. So, the liar is the one who does not believe the Father. And the Father's word is, this is my Son, and if you believe in him, that I sent him, you have everlasting life. Anyone outside of that is a liar. He is an antichrist. He is a forerunner of the antichrist. He is a minion of Satan. Genesis 3:1. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field. He's more crafty, the word cunning. He's more skillful. The word actually means skillfully at deceiving. He's a skillful deceiver. He's more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God hath made. And he said unto the woman, this is Adam and Eve, the story of the first two men on earth. He said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, no, we may eat of every tree, every fruit of the tree of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor you shall not touch it, lest you die. She says, no, man, we can eat all the fruits of the garden. We can, yeah, but we can't eat that one and we can't even touch it. Because he says, the day we do that, we're going to die. So she acknowledges the word of God. She believes the word of God. She quotes the word of God. Satan says, then the serpent said to the woman, you shall not surely die. That's the question. Brings the false accusation. It starts to reason in your mind. We can use this in our life with everything. Read that again. You shall not surely die. Then the serpent said to the woman, you shall not surely die. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God. Well, the Hebrew here is like gods. Z, plural. Menti antichrists. You will be as gods. What was Satan's story? I will be like the Most High. I will be like God. You will be as gods, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise. Look at the picture there. Now she's looking at the tree. It's starting to look pleasant to the eyes, and it's a tree desirable to make one wise. We start to look at that thing we like, and we start to acknowledge it, and we start to play with it. And the next thing you know, it starts going in our mind. And the next thing you know, you start challenging God. You start not believing God. And she said, it'll make one wise. So she took of the fruit and ate it and gave it to her husband. And he ate it. Then their eyes were both open. And they knew they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. Well, here they go now. They're trying to work it out now. They already knew they were naked. They didn't even know they were naked before. Now they're working to make themselves right in front of God. They're trying to cover their sins. They're working at it now. They're sewing fig leaves now. They're going to come up with their own plan now. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. The cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees in the garden. And that's what we do. We hide from God when we do our own thing. And that's what they're doing. To hide from God. This is the same thing John is talking about. When you start to deny the word of God, you will be like this, out of fellowship with God. In the cool of the morning, he used to come and have fellowship with Adam and Eve. Now they're hiding on him. And how many times have we hid on God, run from God, we're hiding on God, we got it under control, we're doing it our own way, we don't believe that message. And the Lord God said to Adam, where are you? Like he didn't know where he was. So he said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid. And that's the problem with us. We're afraid of God. We're afraid of Jesus. We want to be like gods. We're in control of it. You can have this sin and that sin, God. I quit drinking, I quit gambling, I quit doing whatever it is, anger. But I'm holding on to these ones. Because I like these ones. These are my pets. We can't be like that. I was afraid, he said, and I hid myself. And he said, who told you you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you not to eat? Then the Adam said to the woman, here they go. Who is a liar? Remember what John said? But he that not believeth the Father's words. Here he goes. Well, it's a woman you gave me. She's the one who tricked me. You know? I took it because of her. And then the Lord said to the woman, what is this you have done? Now she lies. Well, this serpent deceived me. She starts playing the blame game, the lying game. So here they are now. They've fallen from fellowship. And now they are following the spirit of Antichrist. Who is he that is a liar? So the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed more than any cattle and more than any beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall crush your head. It says bruise, but the word crushed it means, and you will bruise his heel. Then he says to the woman, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and conception. In pain you shall bring forth children. Just remember that you have a baby. And your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. This is why women want to fight with their husbands and tell them what to do, okay? Then to Adam he said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth you. And you shall eat the herb of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall earn your bread until you return to the ground. You hear that, men? That's why you got to go to work every day. Right here. By the sweat of your brow you shall earn your food, your keep. Until you go to the ground, he says. Then he says this, for out of it you were taken, the ground, from dust you are, and to dust you will return. He will surely die. He commands them, tells them, okay, now you're going to die, even though you don't know what that means, physically die. You already know what spiritually dead is, because you're hiding in the winds, you're sowing fig leaves together, and now you're afraid of me. You're spiritually dead. Now you're going to physically die. And Adam doesn't know when. Poor old Adam back in them days, they lived to be 600-700 years old. And you shall see it. No, as you see it, the same old lie that Satan uses, he gets us to question God's word. Just like he did Adam and Eve. He said, indeed, you shall not surely die. She said, no. He said, you can have all the trees, but not this one, or you will surely die. Satan again says to Eve, you shall not surely die, making her question the word of God. But you will be as gods, or like God, knowing good and evil. It's the same lie today that we hear, isn't it? The spirit of Antichrist. Did God really say if you believe in Jesus for eternal life, you have it? And we'll say, yeah, he said that. He did. Then Satan says, well, you surely won't have it, for you are your own God. You're good enough. You're better than the murderer. You're better than the rapist. You're better than the drug head. You're better than the alcoholic. This is the lie here. This is a lie that he plants into their minds, these false teachers, what he calls an antichrist. These tests of faith that they say in this book of John, writers to this day say these are the tests of faith. Certain authors like MacArthur and other antichrist teaching. He says that these are tests of faith. They need to overcome. That's what these teachers would say. By showing your good deeds, you need to overcome, and by showing them, that proves that you have eternal life. And you could read this just in about any commentary out there. Here's a couple verses John writes. I write to you little children, he says in the epistle. The word little children means they're born again. Because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write to you fathers. These are the mature believers. Because you have known him who is from the beginning. I write to you young men. Because you have overcome the wicked one. I write to you little children. Because you have known the Father. I have written to you fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I have written to you young men, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you. And you have overcome the wicked one. That doesn't sound like tests of faith to me. It sounds to me like John is writing to people who already have eternal life. He says right here, I have written to you young men because you are strong. That means they're victorious in Christ. And the word of God abides in you. He says, and you have overcome the wicked one. He puts it in the past tense. Future tense is what I mean to say. They already overcome the wicked one. He says, behold, later on in 1 John 3:5. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed that we should be called the sons of God. John calls them already the sons of God. He's trying to drive this home. He says that if any man sins, any of you guys sin, and he says that to us here, anyone in Christ has eternal life. And John says if any of you sin, we have an advocate with the Father. An advocate is a lawyer. He's a representative. So like court, I get in trouble for DUI, I have to hire an attorney. I go up in front of the judge, and I have a representative with me. He's my lawyer. He pleads my case in front of the judge. This is the same setting right here. When we sin, we lose fellowship with God. And that's what this epistle is teaching. So we ask for forgiveness of our sin, and our lawyer, the Lord Jesus, is standing there with us. And it says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So he says in front of the Father, well, Dan, yeah, he has sinned, and yeah, he did this bad thing, but Father, he has forgiven. He has asked for forgiveness, and I paid his debt for that sin, and he's free on bail. He's granted bail. That's the same picture here that he's saying. This entire letter is flooded with the word little children. Remember what Jesus said a couple months ago? We talked about the rich young ruler. And they were getting mad because the children were trying to get to Jesus. And Jesus said this, hinder not the little children to come to me, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So when John refers to little children later on in life, 80, 90, little children are born-again ones. It's flooded with this word, little children. They have eternal life. Jesus said, hinder not these children, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. These antichrists transform themselves, Paul would say, as angels of light. With their perverted gospel message. We read about that in the Galatians. They were perverting the gospel message. They say you don't just have to believe, you have to surrender your life. And they would call that easy believism now. That's what they call it today. This message I'm preaching right now, there are people that would say, I preach easy believism. That's the name of it. That's what they call it. They would say that you have head faith, not heart faith. Because the way you're acting, you could not be born again. This is the lie of Antichrist John is talking about here. It's not a little matter when you discuss lordship theology. It's a big matter. It's a huge matter. Because John is saying here that he wants you to understand the fellowship you have with God. When you believe in Jesus for eternal life, you have it. And that's what he's saying here. Jesus said, believe in me and you have eternal life. These same preachers and them gospel tracts out there will say this. You need to surrender your life to have a close relationship. To have eternal life, you'd have to surrender your life. We have to surrender our life to have a fellowship with God. That's why we surrender our lives. To keep in close fellowship with God. Not to have everlasting life. We need to believe in Jesus. Well, they would say, well, he keeps on doing bad things all the time. There's no possible way he could have everlasting life. Or they would use terms like this. There's no possible way he could be born again. Look at the way he's going. Jesus said, believe in me and you have everlasting life. We try not to do bad things because he loves us. And he gives us eternal life freely. And by not doing bad things, we show the Lord we love him. Not to gain everlasting life, we don't do bad things to show the Lord we love him. Because that's what Jesus said. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. He didn't say, if you love me, I'll give you eternal life. He said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Some say you don't need to go to church. I just heard that a couple weeks ago. To have everlasting life. And that's true. You don't have to go to church to have everlasting life. Jesus said, he who believes in me has everlasting life. But we go to church to learn about it. And to be with others. Just like we have earthly families that we spend time with, these are our heavenly families. We don't always see eye to eye with earthly families. We don't always see eye to eye with heavenly families. But Jesus said, love one another as I love you. This is why we come to church. He says not to forsake the meeting of ourselves together. Because this is where we learn about the Bible. This is where we bear each other's burdens. This is where we pray for one another's. This is where we get together and minister. Learn the things of God. This is where we have blessings. You know, there's blessings you receive from church you cannot receive outside of church. They do not exist. There is a certain blessing when you meet together as a body of Christ that he blesses you, that you cannot receive solo. These antichrists will say, if you do this or you do that, you will not go to heaven. Jesus said, he who believes in me shall not perish, but has everlasting life. The devil wants us to call God a liar, as we read in our opening text, by not believing him for the free gift of eternal life. Because he knows if we have solid faith in God's word, think about it. If we believe that statement, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him has everlasting life. If we have that blessed assurance inside of our hearts, that's why he's writing this letter. Because these antichrists are coming to these believers, and they're trying to tell them that, no, you don't have everlasting life. You're not acting right. You just sinned. Once you have assurance under control, you will be a soldier for the Lord. Because you believe the word of God. You're like, no, that's not true. A person who has solid faith and assurance in God's word will be a victorious Christian. That's Satan's biggest trip, is to get you to deny the word of God and call God a liar. Did you know when we deny the word of God, we are calling him a liar? I just read it to you. So we should be thankful we're here today. Because this little letter was written to us to be careful with teachings that steal the fellowship that we have with God. That's what happens when we doubt God's word. Their fellowship is stolen. We saw it. They were naked. They knew it. They hid from God. We need to be thankful we were here today. We are his children, and we have everlasting life when we believe in him for it. Since we are God's children, remember, we don't live any way we want to live. So this is not a license to go live a radical life because you have everlasting life. Just as we have children, and we discipline them when they get bad, God disciplines us when we get bad. Remember that. This is not a license for sin. But just when we do good, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Just like when our kids do good, we like to reward them. And that's what he wants to do to us as our Father. When we do good for him, he wants to reward us. But now and for eternity. Oh, the blessings we get from God on a daily basis are just incredible. Today is an important day. Today is the day that you realize that believing in Jesus is the gift of eternal life freely. There is not one thing you can do for it. You can't sow fig leaves. You can't hide in the garden. You can only believe God's word for it. If you believe the word of God, the testimony of God, and this testimony is of his Son, that he that has the Son has life, and he who has not the Son shall not have life. If you believe that, you have everlasting life. And that word everlasting, as Ryrie would say, would have the wrong name if you could lose it. You cannot lose a gift that an eternal God gives you. If he says he has it, he says you have it when he gives it to you, you have it. So remember, I hope you believe in Jesus for the gift of eternal life. And if you do, and you sin this week, which you're going to sin this week, remember who's going to be present. The same one who is present in the garden. The cunning one. The crafty one. The one that's going to come to you and say, you're not born again, dude. You can't do this stuff. Come on. You're not born again. Remember, the liar is present. And he's lying to you. You have the gift of eternal life the very moment you believe in him for it. And don't let him steal the fellowship you have with God. But once you sin, and once I sin, we have to go to that lawyer. to call the lawyer up and say, look, I'm down here, I'm in jail, I got in trouble, he's coming down, he's going to ask you, what's the problem? I'm sorry, man. He's going to take it to the throne and forgive you for all unrighteousness. And he's going to restore that fellowship again with God. He's not like us. You owe me money, I never forget it. Even when you pay me, I don't forget it. He forgets it. The very moment you ask him to forgive you. What a great God. What a great message the Father sends. He says this again. I'll read it again. If we receive the witness of men, if I receive a witness from David, Steve, Ray, Jimmy, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he testifies of his Son. He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. He who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed the testimony that God has given of his Son. And this is the testimony, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. I hope we can do that this week. Don't let your testimony mix you up with your salvation. Maybe we've been idiots a long time in the Word, in our Christian lives. But right now, we need to say, Lord, I'm sorry. I need the fellowship with you again. I'm naked. I'm running around in the woods hiding. Or maybe you haven't believed in Jesus for the gift of eternal life. Well, God the Father says that he gave his Son. And he gave his Son for you to have life, because you're going to die. Just like Adam died. From the dust of the ground you came from, and from the dust of the ground you will return, he said. Believe him. It's just that simple. Remember one thing. If there's one thing you could do to assure your way to heaven, there's only one thing you could do. Jesus Christ wouldn't have had to come here and die on a cross between two thieves, two murderers, two robbers. There's nothing you can do. Dear God, we thank you for the Lord Jesus, and we pray that those words would be exalted. If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. You will draw all men unto you. You're just a gracious God who gives us a long time down here, because you're an eternal God. And you want everybody to come to you. You paved the way, no matter what they say. You've paved the way. And we thank you for the free gift of eternal life by believing in you, Lord. Help us to show you we love you by doing what you want us to do, following your commandments, to be honest, to not steal, to not cheat, to love one another as you love. To not commit the laundry list of things that we could do. So we thank you now. We thank you for always being with us, always hearing us, always giving us second, third, fourth, fifth, zillion chances. We think of others that have been here. We think of disobedience, how you take them out of here, even though they're born again. We've seen many funerals here the last few years. Disobedience will get dealt with one way or another with you. God will not be mocked. What a man sows, so shall he reap. We know these things. So bless us now. Return us here tonight to encourage this young man, Pete, and have fellowship with one another in the name of Jesus.